In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us quieten our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Our dear Heavenly Father, we who so oftentimes struggle in this life of faith, we simply beseech you, dear Father, increase our faith. Dear Father, grant unto us power and strength to endeavor against that onslaught of the enemy of the soul, the sinful world, and our sin-corrupt flesh. Dear Father, we ask this morning, feed and nourish us. Grant unto us that which Thou seest that we need. Open Thy word, dear Father, this day, wherever Thy word is spoken. And we thank You, dear Father, for this miraculous, blessed gift that Thou hast given unto us, this gift of living faith. And we ask, dear Father, simply, to preserve us here in this begun faith, even in the midst of difficult trials, even during difficult battles that one may receive. And we thank you, dear Father, for our homes and our families, this our everyday bread which Thou hast so abundantly blessed us with. And we pray as Thou hast taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. For our text this morning, I thought I would read from the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning from its 36th verse onward. A time in the life of Jesus where He had been invited into this home of a Pharisee by the name of Simon. And evidently it was a public invitation, for others also attended there. And as we read the text, we note how others had heard that Jesus would be in that home at that particular time. And so we read in Jesus' name as follow. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is, that touched him. For she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. And he saith, Master, say on. Then Jesus says here, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman, and he said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And then he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said unto the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. The Bible doesn't give us a name of this woman other than that she was a sinner. Yet this woman, who was such a great sinner, has been remembered year after year, generation after generation, decade after decade, century after century, every communion Sunday. O thou most merciful, crucified Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me, a wretched sinner, and look upon me with the eyes of thine compassion, as thou looked upon Peter when he had denied thee, and as thou looked upon the sinful woman in the house of the Pharisee. And as thou looked upon the thief on the cross, and grant me thy holy grace, that with Peter I would weep over my sins, with the woman which was a sinner, I would love thee with all my heart. And together with the thief I could behold thy holy face in heaven forever. Amen. there in that home of the Pharisee, amongst those Pharisees that he had invited into that meal, they were taught a remarkable lesson of mercy. Forgiveness. On one hand, Simon the Pharisee was quite bold. We remember another Pharisee who also wanted to question Jesus, and who even told him that, "Thou art the prophet, and thou art sent from God." But he invited him to his home in the darkness and the blackness of night, so nobody would see that Jesus entered into his home. This Pharisee was quite bold. It must have been some kind of a public announcement that was made. Indeed, the house was full of Pharisees. And even this woman, wherever she was, heard of the invitation of Jesus for this meal there in this home. The Bible doesn't even say, nor does it matter, what kinds of sin this woman lived in. One could imagine perhaps it was adultery and prostitution. I don't know. But it was open sins, and she was known by those sins that she committed. She was a defiled woman. So defiled that the Pharisee was alarmed that Jesus let her touch him. There was another time when, once again, there were the Pharisees and scribes and other well-known people in this group. Actually, it was near the temple. And that portion even says that, and Jesus went into the temple to teach. And in the midst of this then, I don't know then, were they any longer in the temple or were they on the outside? Because there can be dust in the temple too. And in that time, they brought a woman unto Jesus that had been taken in the very act of adultery. And the law is harsh. You know, when you read concerning the law and what the law says, it's very harsh. The demands of the law are harsh. And they threw this woman in the midst of Jesus and said that this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. One brother questioned then, well, where was the man? He also was committing adultery. And at that time, Jesus didn't say anything. And it wasn't just Pharisees and scribes and well-known people. There were other unbelievers and believers there in the midst. That portion relates how Jesus just stooped down to the ground and he wrote something on the ground or the dust. Was it inside or outside? It doesn't matter. And that he did it three times. And in the midst of it, he asked them then that, made this statement. He said that, because they said, you know, the Bible says that she needs to be stoned. And then they asked Jesus, well, what do you say? And Jesus was very, very peaceful and mild. But at some point then he asked a question, or he made the statement that, well, you who is without sin, cast the first stone. And the Bible says one by one they quietly turned around and meekly walked away. From the oldest to the youngest. And so all the accusers had left, and the woman was left, and those others that were there. And Jesus asked the woman, where are thy accusers? And told her that thy sins are forgiven. It is incredible, dear brothers and sisters. Jesus once said that I came not to judge mankind, but to save. How has it been with you and I, dear brother and sister? How many times I have judged. What a lesson. The other day I was walking by and there was this woman weeping. And she signaled for me, so I stopped and I sat down beside her. And she was a little bit hysterical at first. And so I don't know if it was some dream she had or what had happened, but she was extremely troubled. Some unbelieving lady. Old, already confined to the nursing home. So then I started reassuring her of the goodness of God and how God sees everything. And one really doesn't have to fear. And then I just reassured her that she can believe her sins forgiven. And she immediately quit weeping, and she looked up with those tear-filled eyes and smiled and simply said, thank you. But this is the judgment that God has onto a sinner who is distressed and in need. This is the judgment that Jesus granted. Believe, thy sins forgiven. There in that home of that Pharisee, the law prevailed heavily. In the air, in the hearts, and in the minds of those Pharisees that were there. Do you remember what happened when Moses went to Mount Sinai? And God descended from heaven to the peak of Mount Sinai. And there was blackness and thunder and fire, and the earth and the mountain were quaking, and the people were fearful. And God sent Moses back down out of that darkness to tell the people not to touch the Mount Zion.
And the people were fearful and told Moses that, "Let God speak unto you, not to us, and lest we die, lest we touch that mount and die." And the Bible says that the children of God physically began to move away from that mount because it was so terrible to behold when the giving of the law was handed down unto mankind. The writer unto the Hebrews even writes about it in that 12th chapter. I want to read that. Listen to this. In the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, let's see, let's start reading from the 18th verse. "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto the blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched a mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." This is a judgment that was there in that home of Simon the Pharisee. It was a demand of the law toward that woman who was so sinful and so defiled that one should not even touch her, but rather she be stoned to death. The Pharisees heard something remarkable. They were instructed of mercy and forgiveness. The Bible reminds us that we are not under the law, and thank God that we are not under the demands of the law, because every one of us would be damned and condemned to death. We would be without hope. We would be dead eternally. But the Bible says, but the law was given unto those that it would drive them where? To the place of the gospel. To God's kingdom. That distress that they feel from that burden, that it would force them to seek that peace and joy and righteousness which is only found through our Lord Savior Jesus and His merit work. And today, in His blessed kingdom, here upon the earth, this is the purpose of the law. It's quite comforting here. In this, you know, when we continue in this 12th chapter of Hebrews, first he spoke about this tempest, darkness, fire of Mount Sinai, and he says, but we are not come unto that. In the 22nd verse then it says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. Thank God that He's led you here to Mount Zion. And it says, and unto the city of the living God, and the heavenly Jerusalem, here upon the earth, God's kingdom. And then it says, and to an innumerable company of angels, and so on. Do we, dear brother and sister, have much reason to give thanks unto God? Dear brother and sister, we are that woman in the house of the Pharisee. We are great sinners. Many times even those who begin to struggle in living faith point fingers at the children of God. And through the children of God, then they place fault upon God's kingdom. May God help those who are in that state, because God's kingdom and the holy living spirit of our Heavenly Father has never erred. The Holy Spirit, dear brothers and sisters, is the third portion of the Godhead. Our Father, our Creator, Son, our Lord, the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, which sanctifies us and makes us holy. You know, we struggle in this life. Oh, do we struggle. Visit with the youth, the struggles they have. Visit with young married mothers and fathers, the struggles they have. I visit with the elders and the struggles they have, and every one of us has struggles. Thank God that we do not at any given time are in that deep, dark valley. Thank God that, take an example of the children of God on the wilderness journey. How many people was there? 1 million, 2 million people? I don't know for sure. But there was all of that. It wasn't a small group that started that journey to the Promised Land and traveled for 40 years. It was a huge group of people. And so naturally, as they traveled, there were those in the forefront. The vast majority was there in the midst, in the middle. And at the tailing end, always were those that were struggling and keeping up. It's also a picture of the life of faith here in God's kingdom. At any given time, there are those in the forefront, the vast majority here in the midst, and those whose footsteps have become heavy and slow and difficult. Oh, thank God that He takes those ones that are struggling and He literally takes them and places them in the midst of God's children, and they feel that warmth and that security and that comfort and that love of His children. And so the kingdom of God goes on continually, placing those who are struggling in the midst. But I ask you, dear brother and sister, that you know, there have been those who have struggled so much, so mightily, and have begun to think and to comprehend through the reason of the mind and trying to understand matters of faith with the human wisdom, and who have found themselves on the outside of God's kingdom. It is so important, dear brothers and sisters, that we endeavor to remain in the place of a child. There's so much we don't understand. You know, when you begin reading through the Bible, there's so much that one needs to tip the hat, continue on. One isn't given understanding.
And yet in the very final pages of the Bible, it reminds us, and with a very important reason reminds us, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Because no man is all-knowing and all-wise and all-gifted. Every one of us is lacking. Every one of us struggles at one point or another, more and less. Of course, we all also experience that, what this woman in the house of the Pharisee experienced. Let me tell you, it wasn't easy for her to go into that home. But she had a need. She needed to go there. She loved the Lord Jesus so greatly. Someone may wonder here, well, what is this then that Jesus was speaking about, that washing my feet and so on? But that was a common greeting in those days. Very much today, as when believers enter a home of another believer, one enters with a smile and with a greeting of God's peace. It's nice to see you. That's the general greeting of a believer today. A greeting of joy and a greeting of reminder to one another that, is God still in your heart? Now, that's the purpose of this greeting. It's for reminding and for comforting and so on. Even when we go into the home of unbelievers, we try to greet with a handshake and a smile, and or when they enter into our home and we welcome them there. And in those days, it was a common practice that the host would literally wash the feet and dry them. Conditions were much different then than today. Much more harsh and dirty and dusty, and the clothing was much more different. And it was a custom there. But when Jesus came into the house of Simon, Simon evidently just brought him to where he was going to sit. And that was that. And now this sinful woman came in, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at the feet of Jesus, behind him weeping. The Bible doesn't really say when she received the grace of repentance, but at some point God had blessed her with the assurance that her sins are forgiven. But she carried the scars of sin. She was known. There goes that defiled person. Without question, she had doubts. Without question, she had a joyful heart. Her sins had been forgiven. That former life had been left. That life of open sin. And now she heard that Jesus was here in this home, and oh, she had to get there. And she began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, or when the Pharisee, Simon, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And boys and girls, you know, God knows your thoughts. Pretty remarkable, isn't it? The Bible says that, you know, even when a hair falls from your head, God knows and sees that hair falling to the ground or to the floor.
And so Jesus knew what Simon was thinking. And so he related this little parable unto him. And as we heard, Simon, he answered that correctly. I suppose that he to whom he forgave most, that he would love more. Then it says that Jesus then turned to the woman that was there. Maybe she was behind him yet, I don't know. But he started speaking to Simon the Pharisee. And related unto him of now what she was doing. And she was doing this, why? She loved. Oh, how she loved the Lord. The Bible reminds us that in the fifth chapter of Galatians, when it speaks of the fruits of living faith, love is the first fruit of living faith. The Apostle Paul, when he was speaking of this love of Christ that dwells within us, he reminded us, now abides hope, faith, and charity. And he said the greatest of these is charity, is love. If we didn't have this love, we wouldn't even have faith, we wouldn't have hope. That's why, boys and girls, you beloved youth, it's so important that you remember that golden rule that Jesus taught us. When he says that, do unto others as you'd want them to do unto you. Even if you were mistreated, to still do unto others as you'd want them to do unto you. What a powerful lesson. What an important lesson. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loveth much, and to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Reassuring her once again, dear sister, your sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, well, who is this that forgives sins? Also. That question arises today. In God, from those in unbelief of God's kingdom, where they hear a little child preaching the gospel that your sins are forgiven. The question arises, how can they forgive sins? And yet, it is revealed in the Holy Scriptures again and again how this duty was left unto his own, the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is nothing more than the work of our Lord Jesus continuing here in a New Testament time. And he says here to the woman then that thy faith has saved thee. Dear brother and sister, it is important to remember this. And he said, go in peace. And isn't it so, dear brother and sister? Even now, you can believe sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And even as a dear brother reminded me this morning, and he says, and it's important that we believe. That we believe the gospel. Not that we only hear it, but we believe it in our heart. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. Precious blood. You know, the last couple of weeks we've had
Bible class lessons. The one was on the beginning of the first fall and the fall into sin, and last Wednesday was a lesson on the conscience and one elder remarked, he said, isn't it incredible how God created life and man had everything. There was no need of anything. And everything was good and beautiful. And yet then man thought he needed something more. And sin came. But dear brother and sister, it is important to remember this. God created man to be eternal. God created man with every inconceivable blessing that one could want. That's how it was in the Garden of Eden. That is how God created man to live in this paradise. Somebody once spoke then of the miracle of blessing of marriage, and he said in this way that, you know, that too was, God created that to be an incredible blessing unto mankind. But man has made it to become a burden. Man and sin and the devil. Everything that God has done for us has been for our good. And even the prophet reminds us, the prophet Jeremiah, he says, what does God desire unto you? And he says that, and God says in this way that, I desire unto you peace. Yes, peace. And not sorrow, not evil. He desires this unto every man. The most sinful man upon the earth. This is the desire that God has for him. This is the kind of Heavenly Father we have. And then you beloved youth and dear brothers and sisters, he speaks unto us of our future. Even you elders, your future. And he says, I desire unto you a future with hope. This is the kind of loving Heavenly Father we have. His only wish unto us is good and blessing. And what is required of us? Simply to believe upon the merit work of His Son. For by grace, through faith, are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast, simply by the merit work of Jesus. Cling to this gift that God's given you. You could go anywhere in the world looking for a way to heaven, and you will never find it. It's here in God's kingdom. And so we remember those and pray on behalf of those who have denied living faith. We pray on behalf of those who are living in unbelief that God would be able to instill in their heart this distress over their condition. And that they would lead them here, and that God would grant unto them the gift of living faith, His eternal blessing, that which you and I have today. I ask, does it pay to believe? Yeah, it pays to believe. Even though we so oftentimes find ourselves as this sinful woman in the house of the Pharisee. But again and again we're called, simply believe, thy sins are forgiven unto you. We certainly are a people of hope. We are a people of optimism. We are a people of peace, joy, righteousness, and love. And it's important that we mortify the deeds of the body. And God's kingdom doesn't just speak of grace and mercy and forgiveness. No.
And Jesus very oftentimes instructed and rebuked. Rebuked in love. And that's important here in God's kingdom. That we remind one another, rebuke one another in love. When we see that someone is veering off that well-trodden path, the way that leads to heaven, that we approach them and remind them. The Bible even says when you do this, that you bring a joy unto everlasting, or you bring a soul unto everlasting life. And it is God then who grants that grace. I also need to hear that. Can I have my many sins and doubts also forgiven, dear brothers? I certainly desired to plead with you in Jesus' name and precious blood. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.